Turn to Psalm 119. You parents, have you ever heard this statement? You can't make me. Okay, you parents, you remember saying those words when you were younger. Some of you, like me, knew better than to do it where they could hear you. As soon as they got out of earshot, you'd say, you can't make me do that. Sometimes we stubbornly say, you can't make me do it. You can't make me do it. But I'm convinced that there are times that saying you can't make me is a good thing, a positive thing. I mentioned this morning, and I won't rehash it, but there's a lot of things going on in our lives. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of situations. There's a lot of circumstances that weigh heavy on us. And those circumstances and those problems so easily can get the best of you, so easily can get you down and discouraged, and disheartened. And circumstances and situations that you're going through can get you to the point to where you just want to say, and sometimes do say, I'm just going to give up, I'm just going to quit. That's easy. That's often can happen. But a part of what happens in our lives that makes us want to quit, or at the very least hinders our walk or keeps us from really going for God, is not just circumstances like somebody gets sick or the car breaks down again or you lose your job, those type of things. But sometimes the things that get you down, and if we're not careful, hinders us, will be the things that people do or say. Something you hear that someone has done. I mentioned some of those things this morning that have burdened my heart through the last few days. And this evening, I want to mention that sometimes we say, you can't make me, and that's a bad thing. If you're talking to your boss man or to your parents or perhaps even your wife or husband, stubbornly saying, and I think we got this part down pretty pat, stubbornly saying, you can't make me, I'm not going to do it, is a negative thing and something we should deal with and improve on. But I think there is a positive aspect of saying you can't make me. Because I think we need to come to this conclusion and come to this place in our lives to where our attitude is, in spite of what people do, in spite of how people treat me, in spite of what news I get that troubles me about what someone else has done or is doing, you aren't going to make me stop serving God. Do you understand the message? Tonight I want to try and preach on this message. You can't make me. And all the way through the message, I want to say it once and try not to have to repeat it. Saying you can't make me, if we're not careful, sounds like I am determining in myself. And that's not what I mean. I am saying tonight, by God's grace and with His help, because if we don't get His help, we won't get it done. By God's grace and with His help, no matter what I hear, no matter what I see, no matter what anyone does, I'm still going to serve God. I believe that was the attitude that Brother Noah had. I wonder what it must have been to live in such a wicked and ungodly world. Will you understand that there were only 8 people that cared anything for the things of God? I have no idea. I cannot comprehend what he must have gone through, and the temptation to just say, well, what's the use? And I'm just going to quit too. Nobody else cares. But Noah had to come to the conclusion, I think we need to come to the same conclusion and attitude is this, I'm going to serve God if nobody does. I will walk with the Lord with His help if nobody else does. In other words, look around and those people you love, those people you hate, those people you're informed about that you may never meet, those people who could hinder you, those people who could hurt you, in your heart to them and to the Lord, say, you can't make me stop serving God. I'm just not going to let it happen with God's grace. That's what the psalmist is saying here in Psalm 119, verse 115. Read with me. Depart from me, ye evildoers. Notice what he says. Depart from me, ye evildoers. He's looking at people. He's hearing people. He is somehow connected to someone who's doing wrong. And he says, just do me a favor and get away. Leave me alone. But and then here's the important part. For I will keep the commandments of my God. The psalmist says, if you don't want to serve God, that's up to you. But I do. If you want to do evil, it'll burden my heart, but I'll say it this way, that's fine, but I want to do right. The psalmist says, in essence, you can't make me. I'm going to serve God in spite of you. And there are occasions that we have to come to the conclusion that I'm going to serve God in spite of someone. And that's not easy. We'll need God's help. We need to understand, and even this verse suggested, that influence from others is so important and so weighty. The influence on others or on us from others can be so important. And what people can cause to happen in our lives if we're not careful. You see, in essence, some people can help you. I thank the Lord for men that I've known through the years who have walked with God and been an example to me. One night in camp meeting, Brother Chris said, go to a preacher who's meant a lot to you. And I went to two or three men. And I said, you've been an example to me and I appreciate you. You've been a help to me. I can say that to some of the people here especially, but all of you in some way. People can be a help to you. They can encourage you. They can pray for you and with you. Them living for the Lord can encourage you to do the same. Them facing adversity faithfully and staying true to the Lord can encourage you to do the same. Them saying no to sin and to temptation in the world can encourage you to do the same. People can help us. I'm reminded of what Jesus said to the disciples. He said, ye are the salt of the world. That means we're preserving. We are having a positive aspect or a positive influence on the world. So there is a good aspect. We can help people and people can help us. I'm glad there are still some that are faithful. I'm glad that there's still some we can look around and look up to and admire in the right way. The psalmist says that type of thing in Psalm 101, verse 6. He says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. He says, everybody hasn't quit. Everybody hasn't let me down. Everybody hasn't quit God. There's some faithful. And he says, those are the ones I'm going to look to. There are some people who can help you. But the message tonight, I suppose, does not deal too much with them. For there are also some people who can hinder, if we allow. There's some people who can hinder you, if you let them. There's some people who can hinder your walk with the Lord, if you let them. And the message tonight is, I'm not going to let you. You can't make me. And I hope that'll be our attitude when we walk out the doors tonight. I'm reminded of in 1 Kings 11:3, where it talks about Solomon and how his wives turned away his heart from following God. Here's a man who had walked with God. Here's a man who had loved the Lord, but influence from somebody else hindered him. And his heart that had been toward God now is hindered and distracted. And the reason is because someone was a negative influence on him, and he watched them, and it hindered his walk. Jesus, as I've already said, has said, ye are the salt of the earth. But the rest of that verse continues by saying this, but if the salt has lost its savor, which indicates that there are some of God's people who are no longer salty, but something's happened in their lives to make them stop walking with the Lord as fervently as they had. And those type of people can hinder those who are still trying to walk with God if we let them. So people not only can be a help, people can also be a hindrance. Sometimes those who hinder you the most are those that you want to see serving God, perhaps someone you care about. And you want to see them on fire, but they're not. You want to see them right, but they aren't. You want to see them sold out, but they're not. And that causes the hindrance is you being burdened for them to such a degree that it begins to hinder your walk with the Lord. Now, we are to be burdened and we are to be concerned, but it's not to be to such a degree that it begins to hinder our walk with God. And our attitude should be, I love you, I care for you, I'm here for you, I'm praying for you, I'm burdened for you, but if you serve God or not, I'm still going to serve God. I will not let your lack of dedication make me less dedicated. I remember what one of our professors said in school. In fact, it was the dean. And he said, there's some people you'll preach to, and they're going to serve God no matter what. You can go out and get drunk. You can be unfaithful. You can just quit the ministry. You can just make a mess. And they'll know about it and it'll burden their heart. But they're still going to serve God in spite of what you do. And I found that to be true. Not that I've done those things. Don't misunderstand. And then he said, there's this group of people who will not serve God no matter what you do. You can beg them, you can fuss at them, you can do everything you can to try and touch their lives and make a difference in their lives, and they're not going to serve God no matter what. And I've found that to be true. But then he said, there's those some that's sort of straddling the fence, and your ministry will primarily be to them. Because there's some people you can reach to, there's people you can talk to, and they'll listen and you'll give them some help. And my point is this. If we aren't careful, we'll get so bogged down by those who aren't serving God that it'll begin to hinder our walk with God. People can be a hindrance. People can help, and people can hinder. Could I remind us, sometimes people can hurt. Some of the most hurtful things that will happen to you in church. And it doesn't have to just be church people or God's people. People can hurt you if you let them. I think about Ahab, and listen to what it says about him. 1 Kings 21:25, but there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord. Notice why Ahab was so wicked, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. Now Ahab was wicked and he was ungodly, and there's no doubt about that. But much of the reason was because that buzzard listened to his wife, and she affected him and ended up hurting him. But he listened to her. He let her affect him. And he should have said what I'm saying tonight: Jezebel, you ain't gonna make me. You can't make me do what's wrong. There's some people who can hurt you. You see, you can't let what they do affect you. There's going to be some people who do right, and that'll be good. But there's going to be some people who do wrong, and it'll hurt you. But whether they do right or wrong, it cannot affect your walk with the Lord. You must, with God's help, say, I ain't going to let you touch my heart that much. I love you, I care for you, I pray for you, my heart breaks, but my walk with the Lord is more important than to let you hurt me that much. You can't make me, with God's help, quit serving God just because of what you do or what you don't do. What about the Apostle Paul on the missionary journey? In Acts 13:13, it tells us this: now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga, Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Here's John Mark, who has said, I'm going with you on this missionary journey. I'm standing with you. I'm preaching with you. I'm there to help you. I'll do what you need for me to do. I'm here to assist you. And Paul had depended on him greatly, no doubt. And when the going got tough, John turned around and went home. How easy would it have been for Paul to say, John hurt me so bad, he let me down. He failed to do what he said he would do. If he's quitting, I'm quitting too. If he can go home, I'm going home too. It burdened Paul, and it hurt Paul, but Paul kept serving the Lord. And you got to get that attitude. Or if somebody does hurt you, if somebody's not doing what you want them to do, if somebody's not living right, it can hurt and it can burden you, and it should, but it can't hinder you from walking with God. Could I just make it plain? If you have a husband that's not faithful, don't you let that hurt you so much that you quit being faithful. If you have a wife that's not faithful, don't let that hurt you so much that you quit being faithful. If you have children that's breaking your heart and not right with God, let it burden you, be concerned, weep over them, pray over them, but don't let that hurt you so much that you quit serving God. If you have a close friend that used to serve God and used to love the Lord, and now they don't let that hurt you to a degree to where you stop serving God. You can't make me. That's my message tonight. I don't know whether to tell this, but it's the truth. I know preachers that drink beer. At least they used to. Good friends of mine. At least they used to be. I know Christians that don't live right. I'm sure if we knew all the secrets of all of our friends, it'd amaze us what all was going on in the lives of Christians. And that's wrong. That's absolutely, positively wrong. But even though that does hurt us, and it should hurt us, we can't let that make us stop serving God. I know one preacher that's my kind of preacher, I thought, that was caught drinking beer. And that burdens my heart. But I know a whole lot of preachers who would never think of doing that. Now, am I going to let that one preacher so burden me that I stop serving God? I hope not. Does it hurt me? Sure it does. Does it burden me? Of course it does. But one going bad shouldn't make me stop serving God. In fact, if all of them go bad, that doesn't give me the right to quit serving God. You may have friends, you may have family that has thrown in the towel and quit. They may be doing things you thought they never would do. You may not even be sure what all they are doing. And I know it hurts and it ought to hurt, but don't let that stop you from serving God. With God's help, take the attitude, you can't make me stop serving God. I'm not saying we shouldn't care. I'm not saying we shouldn't weep. I'm not saying it shouldn't burden us, but it shouldn't burden us so much that we quit, or it shouldn't affect us as much so much that we should quit. Sometimes just the influence draws us toward what they're doing, or even at least away from God. And tonight we ought to say like the psalmist, evildoers, get away from me, because I'm going to keep the commandments of my Lord. I'm going to keep on serving. You see, the bottom line is you cannot be too dependent upon good. I'm thankful, and you are, I suppose, when people compliment you or talk to you about how much of a blessing you are. If you sing and people say, boy, I enjoyed that singing, or boy, you really did good on the instrument today, or it really was a good Sunday school class, or you really did a good job preaching. Or I just want to tell you, your life to me is a blessing. It's wonderful when people say those good things. But I got news for you. You better not get used to those compliments. You better not get dependent upon those compliments. You better not get to where you need them or you depend on them to keep serving God. Because that person who loves you so much today may despise you tomorrow. Or that person who really was truly complimental and really didn't mean it today may simply just forget tomorrow. So we cannot depend upon good treatment. We cannot depend on good behavior. If you know somebody who's serving God that you love and you're glad, be thankful. Let them know. Praise the Lord for it. But your walk with God better not be dependent on whether they're serving God or not right now. The fact that they are right now better not be what is determining whether you're walking with God right now. Because at the moment's notice, they may turn away. It's great when people live right and do right. It's great when they compliment you. It's great when they pay you attention. But that better not be what's determining whether you're going to serve God or not. That better not be the thing that motivates you. You can't get too dependent upon people doing good to you. You can't get to where you're dependent upon the good that people do. And we can't get to where we're too defeated over the bad things that people do. It ought to burden us. I've said it over and over. We ought to care. But their failure cannot cause us to fail. Them doing wrong, whether to us or just in general, we cannot allow that to be the defeating factor of us. You want me to tell you the truth? Really, nobody can make you do anything. Now, Ahab allowed Jezebel to influence him. Solomon allowed his wives to influence him. But they allowed it to happen, and they didn't have to. And if I'm honest, and I want to be, and if you're honest, and I hope you want to be, we've got to come to this conclusion. Really, factually, nobody can make us do anything unless we allow it. The whole world could go to the dogs. Everybody could turn their back on God. And that'd be a terrible thing to overcome and to still be faithful through. But still, we cannot look and say, it's their fault. We can't blame them. Because the bottom line again is, nobody can make me do anything unless I allow it. You understand what I'm saying? Are you getting the message? So my point is, if we try to blame someone else and say, if they weren't doing this, I wouldn't be this way, we are fighting the wrong argument, because God won't buy that. Because He in essence says what the psalmist says, evildoers, get away from me. You're not going to get in my life. You're not going to get in my head. I'm going to keep serving God. I don't know how many houses I've visited. I don't know how many blank faces I've looked into. I don't know how many mad people I've talked to. And I've said, what's wrong? And the answer starts like this. Someone did something to me. Someone said something to me. You know what that means? They've allowed somebody and their actions to affect their walk. And God's never going to buy that argument. The bottom line is, nobody can make you or me do anything. And if we are allowing the influence of others to hinder our walk, it is our fault. Because God's promised grace, even through that type of thing. You can't let what they do affect you. You can't let how they treat you affect you. Sometimes our problem is worrying about what somebody thinks. That's the fear of witnessing what they'll think about us. They'll think we're fanatical. And if we're not careful, that thought will stop us from witnessing as we should. And that's what I'm talking about this evening. Not allowing people in what they think or what they do or how they act or how they live or don't live to influence us. You can't let people affect you that much. And I'll try and wind this message up or wind it down, whichever you want to say. Some of the worst treatment you'll ever get's in church. Some of the harshest things you'll ever be said, you'll ever hear and never been spoken to you will be in church. Some of the meanest people and some of the worst attitudes you'll ever find is in church. I'm sorry, but you know that's true. And if that's true, we better prepare and make sure that no matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, no matter what anybody doesn't do, it's not going to make me stop serving God. In essence, you can't make me stop serving God no matter what you do, no matter what you say. You may hurt me. I may go along and cry, but I'm going to still serve God. That's what I'm preaching. That's what David said. Keep me doing your commandments. In essence, I want to go a little bit further and say this. We need to say to those people around us that might be a hindrance or a hurt, you can't take my joy. You can't take my peace. We ought to be burdened, and this is a tricky subject, but it's still true. We should be burdened for them, but still have joy in our own lives. Isn't that strange? But that's what the Bible teaches. We should be burdened that they're not doing what they should be doing, or that they've said what they've said, or they've done what they've done. It should burden us and trouble us, but it should not take our joy or our peace. I'll give you an example, just a brief example. Somebody you care about not serving God, that can and should burden you. But you need to understand that person is in the hands of God. And when you pray and you unload your burden to the Lord and you put them in God's hands, we can say it's in His hands. And no matter what happens, I'm going to still serve God and still have joy because I've got peace in my heart about my relationship with the Lord. Do you understand? Everything's all right with me. And it's not saying you don't care for them. Of course you do. But it does mean that you're not so burdened and troubled that it overwhelms you to where you don't serve God. Let me close with three very brief statements. Why should I do what I've talked about tonight? Why should I not allow people to hinder me? Why should I not allow what people say or do or don't say or don't do to not hinder me? I think, number one, because it's the right thing to do. It's right to serve God no matter what. If the whole world quits serving God, it's still right for you to serve God. If everybody walks away, if we get down to two on Sunday morning, you and me, let's show up. You understand? And I'm not suggesting that. I don't think that. I don't expect that. It would surprise me if that happens. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in general what you're facing, the problems you have and I have with people. If your best friend quits serving God, it's still right for you to serve God. If your husband throws in the towel and curses God, it's still right for you to keep going. If your wife says you go to church if you want to, Buster, I'm not going back, it's still right for you to keep serving God. It's right to do this because it's right. Secondly, it's right to keep serving God in spite of people. Because there's somebody watching you. Somebody's watching you, and if you quit, it's going to affect them. Are you listening? If you slow down, it's going to affect them. If our hearts start getting cold, somebody notices. If you get lax about services at church, somebody notices. If you've lost the joy that you used to have, that used to be evident, and people saw it, and you've lost that, somebody notices. If you've lost your burden for lost souls, and you used to witness, and now you don't, somebody's watching. And the reason we should not let what anybody else does affect us is because there's somebody else behind us watching to see how we do. Somebody's watching you. And then lastly, we ought to do what I'm saying tonight because somebody needs you. There's somebody troubled and burdened. There's somebody on the verge of quitting. They need somebody that's still standing true to be an example. They need it. It's more than just they're watching you. It's more than just the fact that you're a little bit of an encouragement to them. They need somebody to give them some stamina. A foundation. They need to see somebody that's still standing. They need you. Somebody who may be a friend. If you stop serving God, you can't be the friend they need. If you even slack off, if you even cool down, they can't get from you what they need. They can't get the help. There's somebody who needs you desperately. And if you're not there for them, then they'll quit. Their life may be devastated because you slacked off, because you watched someone else when they slacked off. Do you see the domino effect? I'm through. You can't make me. It ought to be our attitude with God's help. You may burden me, you may trouble me, you may hurt me, but you're not going to do anything or say anything that's going to stop me from serving God. That's got to be our attitude. Let's stand together. You've listened well, Gail, if you'll come. I don't know what's on your heart. I don't know what need you have, but I know I've unloaded my burden for tonight. So you mind the Lord. If there's something you want to pray about, I beg you to. If there's someone here who isn't right with the Lord, or you're not saved, you're not sure you're saved, will you please come and get it settled tonight? You're going to just be miserable if you don't. Things aren't going to improve until you give in to Him. Father, speak to hearts. Help us to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. As she plays, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You need to come. Please mind the Lord. Maybe there's somebody been too much of a burden on you. Maybe you've watched people and it's affected you. Maybe influence has been too drastic, too severe, and it's taking its toll. The attitude of the psalmist is, evildoers, just get away from me because I'm going to serve God. You can't make me stop serving God.